Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm back on my bright red desk. This is a late show. It's actually a day delayed, 24 hours, because this weekend I was out in Cincinnati, and I was teaching a workshop Friday night, Saturday, and all day Sunday till about 1, 2 o'clock, I guess. And then I went off with a friend of mine who I've known since college, 1975, I guess. We've known each other 40-some-odd years. And she lives in the Cincinnati area, Lisa Biedenbach. And I went over to her house, which is in a nice part of Cincinnati, Fairfield. And there were tornado warnings. And then there was a thunderstorm. And then there were 3 inches of rain. And then there was no internet signal, and there was no power, and there was no DirecTV. So I didn't have any communication devices yesterday to do the radio show. So I do apologize for it not being on its normal time. And then, of course, I was teaching in the morning, so I was sleeping at a house with a bunch of people, so I wasn't able to do the show bright and early on Sunday morning. So it's a day late, but it is a Gemini moon, so we're going to give you a good show today, even though it's a little late. And I apologize for people that were worried. Today was a travel day. You know, I came home from Cincinnati. I just got home about a half an hour ago because the flights were delayed because of the weather. Who knew there's tornadoes in Cincinnati? I was like, tornadoes? You have tornadoes? She goes, yeah, we go to the basement. And then, of course, you get to the airport now that you're aware of tornadoes. And all through the airport, this is the tornado zone, or this is the severe storm zone, and it's got this picture of a big tornado. And they have all these tunnels in the Cincinnati airport so everybody can go underground if a tornado comes through. Who knew? I think of tornadoes as being Kansas and Nebraska, but apparently they have them in Cincinnati too. So I had a great time with Lisa and her husband, Bob. And I had a big rainstorm with 3 inches of the rain. Bobby has a rain gauge. So when I got up this morning, he said, 3 inches of rain yesterday in the rain gauge. And it was very puddly, and the Miami River and the Little Miami River and the Ohio River were all nice and big and fat and full of water because of the runoff from the rain. So I apologize. Thank you for people who wrote. It didn't occur to me to say anything to Rose. So Rose is like to me, did something happen to you that you know, I said, oh, yeah, you know, there was a thunderstorm. We had no power. The DirecTV kept going in and out, and there was no signal. And, yeah, I guess I should have said something. I was in chatting mode with my friend, so I apologize. This week we have not a three-page week, finally a two-pager. And it does calm down a little, except Venus goes into Scorpio. And, of course, she leaves Libra, which is one of her nicer signs, and she goes into Scorpio. So she's a little passionate this week. And she's going to be in Scorpio until the end of the month, until November 30th, when she shifts into Sag. So what happens when Venus goes into Scorpio is the heavens take on a little bit of more emotional intensity. Now, last week, as Mercury crossed over over the last degrees of Sagittarius, Scorpio rather, it triggered the eclipse degree, right? And I sent a newsletter out, and I also post on the Facebook and on my website the column for the full moon that was in Taurus, Scorpio, which had echoes. And I guess because Mercury was at the last degree of Scorpio, it produced a few people writing me nasty emails, which I'm totally cool with. I'll write you back if I feel like I need to. Otherwise, you know, I'm sorry if you don't like what I write. When I do the newsletters, what I try and do is point out how the current events in the world reflect them, right? And I say, this is the aspects, this is what's going on. And hey, look at how we should anticipate stuff from here, here, and here. And I don't always know what it's going to be. You know, when we had the symbol of the unexploded bomb, I didn't know the guy was going to be shooting at the gas tank, trying to blow it up in Las Vegas. But that was the unexploded bomb. If that tank had blown the fuel tank from the airplanes, it would have been a much bigger fire. This week I got an email from someone saying I was irresponsible because I wrote Mercury Juno aspect end of relationships, and it was after the shooting at the Baptist church Sunday morning, which I didn't have any clue happened. I do the Twitter feeds on Monday for about a half an hour with Rose. I lie on the couch with a cup of tea with my foot in the air, and I dictate, and Rose types them in. Okay, so it's actually a combo. I say stuff. Rose is much pithier than I am because she's very smart, and she's a Columbia English major. and she's a literary girl, so literary lass. So it's a combo, but we dictate them a week in advance, sometimes 2 weeks in advance if I'm going to be on the road. I didn't know there was going to be a shooting at the church. I just said relationships are going to end. You know, life changes, move on. And this woman took horrible offense to it. You know? And I'm like, but I tweeted it like 2 weeks ago. You know, like, really, I wasn't trying to be pithy or callous or cruel. I was just trying to say this is the astrology. So please, when you read this stuff, recognize my job, at least, and I tried to articulate this to a woman who wrote me a pretty mean email. my job is to try and educate you about how astrology works. And the best way to do it is to point to the world, because we all live in the same world. And I can say, see that event over there, see how it ties back, see how these days match those days. Sometimes I use politics, sometimes I use, you know, other things that are in the world that are going to recur. But if I'm tracking it, you know, meaning I'm paying attention to because I'm interested in it, it may be a political thing. I'm Aquarius rising. I like politics. I like thinking we all contribute here to make the world a better place. So I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be callous. I'm just trying to give you an education in astrology by pointing out how it shows up in the world around you, so that you can then go, okay, let me understand it. So, Mercury, hard aspect to Juno. If you were having some fights with partners on Sunday, you know, you were working that Mercury-Juno aspect the same way that guy was shooting the people in the church. They're thinking it's going to be peaceful. They're going to go pray. He's thinking, no, not so much, right? And there was a setup, and I'm sure if the police released the timelines, it would match the setup of the, you know, we would be able to track it astrologically. So I love hearing from you as my readers, and I also want to just say, you know, I'm just an astrologer trying to teach you astrology, and also to say what's coming. Now, this week we have an interesting week. We have a lot of stuff coming up, and some of it's going to be a little tight, little dicey, because Venus is at that degree of Libra again. That Mercury was at a couple weeks ago, and Mars was at a couple weeks ago, and Jupiter was at a couple weeks ago when Harvey had his problems. So we're going to have Harvey back in the news this week, or something around that energy, because that aspect is activating. And for all of us, until we have the new moon in Scorpio, which is another 2 weeks, we're still wrapping up the Jupiter in Libra. We're not finished with that energy yet. Venus is on it this week, finishing it up, and then we have to have Mars go through it and finish it up, and then we're done. But there's like a big wrap-up for some reason with the Scorpio stuff, and they don't tell me why they set it up that way, but I can tell you we're still working with old relationship energy. And if you're old enough to have been around in 1982 like I was, that was when my mother was diagnosed with bowel cancer. So I also know I'm running a little extra sensitive right now. So all of you who write me nice notes, thank you very much, and I really appreciate them, and I love you very much, and we're wonderful people. I'm feeling more sensitive to the negative notes, but that's okay. We all need to know where we are. So if you think about the fall of 82 and what was going on then, that story is up for you, right? That journey that you went on then, someone else in your life is going on it, or you're having a repeat of it. So that can make you be a little more emotional than you were, when you were whatever. Does that make sense? So anyway, so everybody just know it's an emotional week. Now what's going to happen is Mercury's going to go into Sagittarius, just went in actually. Sagittarius, everybody gets a little more volatile. And of course, Mercury in Sag is answering to Jupiter in Scorpio. Very intense. Now Jupiter's in Scorpio for a whole year. And Mercury in Sagittarius is much more potent in his communication styles. So what you want to do with this is, I always say to my Mercury in Sag clients, I say, well, you know, you're always going to speak the truth as you understand it, because that's what Sag does. It may not be the whole truth, it may not be the perfect truth, but you're going to speak your truth. But what you might want to do is pause a moment and ask people, do you want me to tell you what I think? And then look at them, because they know you're a truth speaker, right? And they may say, no, I don't want you to tell me. I would prefer not to hear. Thank you very much. And that's okay. But if you talk to somebody with Mercury and Sag, the way it is now, you're going to get an answer back. You're going to get a direct, straightforward answer that calls you out, because that's what Mercury and Sag does. So I had a friend, Sandra, love her, wonderful woman, and at one point I was not dyeing my hair. I just had decided I was sick of that whole maintenance thing, and I was just going to go gray and let it turn into whatever color it wanted to be, which is a mousy brown. It looks like a little rat, little mouse hair. So we're sitting on a bench looking over the East River, and she says to me, Ortley, what's going on with your hair? And I said, what? She goes, you look like a Mennonite. Now, no offense to the Mennonites. In the listening audience, I said, I look like a what? She said, you look like a Mennonite. What are you doing with your hair? I said, a Mennonite, like an Amish person? She goes, yeah. Because I was, you know, to the grays and the whatever, kind of, you know, those root things. I'm like, a Mennonite, jeez. You know, like, that's not a description I ever thought of for myself. I kind of had this image of it, you know, being like sexy gray hair. I don't really have sexy gray hair. I don't have that kind of hair, I guess. So I went back to dyeing my hair. So Mercury and Sag. Sandra's a Sag. So watch for the direct communication this week. Watch for people saying stuff and maybe calling you out. And also watch, you might be in the mood to call them right back out. And that's okay. That's that Mercury and Sag energy. It's a very big Mercury week, meaning lots and lots of stuff coming out. So Mercury, of course, is the teller of tales. And he now wants to tell all the stuff that he didn't tell us yet. And he's got a whole big story. And, of course, he's going through Sagittarius. Now, who else is in Sagittarius? Saturn. Saturn's in Sag, and he's been there since fall of 15, right? So there's been a story going on with Saturn going through Sagittarius through fall of 15. Now Mercury comes back, and he goes through this sign, and he's in this sign until January 10th because he's going to do a retrograde. So what he's going to do is he's going to take you through the journey of Saturn and Sag since the fall of 15, and he's going to show it to you. And then he's going to retrograde, and he's going to have you look at it a second time. And then he's going to go direct, and he's going to have you look at it a third time so that you see the nuanced meanings underneath it, right? So when she said to me, you look like a Mennonite, it was her terms for calling me out and not taking care of myself, or, you know, what her vision of what I should take care of myself was. And, you know, she's a very frank, direct woman. I could have taken offense at it. I could have been insulted. I also just listened, and I thought, well, what do you mean by Mennonite? And I got a different story. So then subsequently, when I was talking to one of my friends who has mousy brown hair like I do, Margaret, and I said to her, so Margaret, how come you don't dye your hair, right? Because Margaret has great hair like my color. And she said to me, because I'm short. So I said, you're short? She goes, yeah, tall people can dye their hair. Short people can't. Because short people, the roots show, and people looking down on their heads see the roots. So I don't want anybody seeing my roots, so I don't dye my hair. And I'm like, oh, okay, another position on dyeing the hair. Now, I know this sound, the people in the audience go, what's she talking about dyeing the hair for? But it reframed dyeing the hair yet again for me, right? Because, you know, she's a young-looking woman, but she's got gray hair. You know, why don't you dye your hair? Well, no, I'm, you know, I don't want people looking at my roots because I'm short. And I'm not short, so I don't deal with short as an issue about how my roots show or don't show. I mean, they show after a certain point, but you know, you're not sitting over me. You're not above my head, basically looking down. Mercury in Sag has virtual levels of reality based on how Jupiter is working. Jupiter is in Scorpio. So he is going to take us on a diving mission we're going to go diving. And as we go diving, what he's going to do is he's going to pop up stuff for us to have aha moments. This is going to go on until January 10th, okay, is why I'm spending so much time on it. And you just need to know when the new moment pops up and you go, a Mennonite, you don't dye your hair because you're short, you know, or whatever the story is, whatever the version of reality you're getting from the other person, that is their truth. Doesn't mean they're wrong. That's their truth. You can continue to educate if you feel the need. You can also go, okay, that's your truth. I get it. But that's not my truth, or my truth is somewhere in there. And then you want to take what I call the Dan Savage approach. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's a sex columnist. He's got a great website, does a lot of work. And whenever they need a gay guy, you know, to comment on gay things, they pop him out. They trot him out. And he's a really very articulate man. And one time a guy was saying to him, you know, Hillary and Obama were both against gay marriage. And how come you're not mean to them? You know, and he said, look, Hillary and Obama thought they were against gay marriage, and I was critical of them when they did it. And then they thought about it, and they realized they maybe had made a mistake, and they changed their position on it. And they came to see that everybody should be allowed to marry the person they love, especially because you get so much stuff when you get married. You know, you get inheritance, you get tax benefits. There's a bunch of stuff that comes just by being married. They realized they were wrong, and they changed their mind, and they made a new decision. He said, why would I be mean to them when they realized they were incorrect? From my point of view, as a gay man who is married. He's a married gay guy. And I thought, oh, that's a really interesting thing, because we do hold it against people. Well, you know, you used to, but if they've changed their mind or they've come up with a new way, we are all going to be going through a number of Dan Savage moments between now and January, where your job, your opportunity, your perhaps lack of opportunity to express yourself and to say, hey, you know, this is what I think. So when you have that moment and you have that awareness and you have that aha, hey, maybe I need to speak up too, or maybe if I speak up in this situation, it's not going to help. But because of the Harvey thing, we're seeing that the speaking up is important because of the Jupiter and Scorpio, right? Because we saw how fast that went down. We are entering the Mercury decant of Pluto and Capricorn. When that happens, Mercury's ruling this next 10 degrees. So what that asks each of us to do is to speak our truth. And it doesn't mean our truth has to be different than their truth, but once we speak it, then a dialogue can ensue. We can have an ongoing dialogue. Writing nasty emails, certainly a way to handle it, start the dialogue. But if you get a nasty email back, just go, oh, okay. And then also understanding that the communications set that's coming up for this next 2 months is fiery. Okay. Now, there's a grand trine in the sky, and there's also a grand trine in air in the sky. Fire and earth. Fire and air grand trines are visionary. They help us get the new vision. So Saturn and Sag, I've been saying to you for months, what's your vision? What's your vision? What's your vision? You're going to get crystal clear on it now because Mercury needs got to learn to articulate it and say what it is. And he's going to be practicing, and he's been going retrograde 3 times, getting you up and running for it. He hasn't entered his shadow yet. That happens in a couple weeks. But he did enter Sag, and I'm already seeing people going, you know what, I really need to understand this, or, you know, that's really frustrating. I don't understand it. So honor the, and I think it started this week because of the big, there was a lot of energy with Mercury getting aspected. Plus, he was on the eclipse degree. So that's the big theme for the week. Plus, Venus going into Scorpio gets everybody really intense and passionate. And she meets up with Jupiter, so she starts a new 12-year cycle around money. That's always fun. If you have any Scorpio, I have Venus in Scorpio, so she's going to come to my Venus. Jupiter's going to come to my Venus and start a 12-year cycle around money. Watch when that happens. That happens this week. That can also be a new love coming in. Okay? All right. So let's talk about the moons. So the moon is in Gemini today, the 6th of November, and it goes void with a lovely trine to Venus. Then it is quickly goes into Cancer on the 7th, Tuesday the 7th, and it's in Cancer the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, and it goes void at 12:15 in the morning on the 9th. with a square to Uranus. So Tuesday, Wednesday are separating aspect days, moon in Cancer, square Uranus. Crisis of consciousness. 7:29 on the 9th, moon goes into Leo, and it's in Leo Thursday, Friday, and then it goes void at 3:55 a.m. Saturday morning with the trine to Uranus, which is a productive trine. So Thursday and Friday are productive. Saturday, the moon is void in the morning, and it goes into Virgo at 11:41 a.m., and it's in Virgo on the 11th and the 12th, and it goes void at 10:45 a.m. with a square to Saturn on the 13th. So even though it's a moon in Virgo and its attention to detail, its closing aspect is hard with a square to Saturn. We have the Taurus meteors. That's go out in the sky and see the shooting stars. That happens on Saturday and Sunday. So the aspects this week are releasing aspects. Remember, we're still in the balsamic phase. We're not in the balsamic. We're in the waning phase of the new moon. We don't have the new moon in Scorpio until the 18th when we have an initiating energy. So release, 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 release. Think of it as a release because it is. And also, what is it you want? Because that's coming next. But the Mercury in Sag is going to get all of us a little bit of a challenge because it is in Jupiter. People are going to be really passionate about what they're working on and how they're feeling because that Scorpio Mercury that Mercury in Sag answering to Jupiter in Scorpio gives it a passionate intensity that's a little hard to handle sometimes. And right now, because Mars is in Libra, and Venus now went into Scorpio, the Mars is now not so nice. It's a little more aggressive. So this week, the Sun goes from 14 Scorpio to 19 Scorpio. Features of the week is it's sextile to Pluto on the 9th. So on Thursday, the Sun sextiles Pluto, which is a power day. And on the 8th, it sextiles Juno, the marriage planet, and how you want to partner with people. So those are nice days for really understanding what your skill set is. Then the Sun has a square to the nodes of fate on the 11th, offering you a choice. And when it's in Scorpio, we call that being in the bends, when the planets square the nodes. And it offers a choice around how to proceed. As I mentioned earlier, and I've spent a lot of time on Mercury, he's in Sag and he's going quickly. He's going from 0 Sag to 12 Sag this week. And his highlights are, setting boundaries and frames on the November 6th. And also he has an aspect with Pluto around understanding triangles and working with power in a new way and seeing patterns he hadn't seen before because he's also aspecting Pallas Athena. Remember, Mercury in Sag is part of his retrograde journey. He's about seeing things that we need to see before Saturn finishes his Sagittarius journey and enters Capricorn in December. So it's kind of like, after you get to the end of the movie and then they do a little flashback and they do, I love you, Bob, and then they flash on all these little scenes, like in Harry Met Sally, and they flash on all these little scenes and you remember the movie and you go, oh, yeah, that was really good, kind of the Cliff Notes version. Think of Mercury doing that with Saturn and Sag. Hi, baby, come here. He also, the cats are very excited because I'm home too. Mom's been traveling, and Mom's now home till Christmas, so no more bad blog talk radio recordings and no more Mom missing. Mercury is also sesquiquadrate, which is a stressful aspect on the 13th, on Monday the 13th, but you're feeling it on the weekend. So Mercury sesquiquadrate Uranus kind of says to you, how do I want to proceed? And then he also has a square to Neptune, which is that there's like some kind of illusion or delusion that you've been carrying is going to go away this week. You're going to see things in a different way. Venus right now is at the last degree of Libra, triggering that period of time in December of 82. If you were November, fall of 82, if you were alive then, and asking you to look at the structure of your relationship. She goes into Scorpio. Goes into Scorpio tomorrow morning, and then she's in Scorpio till the end of the month. And, of course, passionate and intense. She has an aspect with the nodes of fate on the 8th, so watch who you meet. She wants to end a relationship on the 7th with the situation she's been back and forth on for a few times. She's not 100% sure she really wants to do it, and she probably shouldn't do it. She may not be able to give it up just yet. And then there's an opposition to Pallas Athena, so we see things in a different light. And then she's got a lot of quintiles to Juno, to Pluto, and to a healing opportunity on the 11th, on that Saturday when the moon is in Virgo. So Venus in Sag kind of wants to help us a little bit and give us a different space, give us a different awareness. Now, as she's rolling through the Scorpio energy, she's very passionate. And then, of course, she meets up with Jupiter and initiates a whole new energy. But that means she's in a releasing phase this week. So we're releasing love, we're releasing passion, we're releasing money. You know, we're spending money. I know in my case, it's a very mundane example, but I'm a treasurer for OPA, the Organization for Professional Astrologers. So I'm writing out the last checks and figuring out what money we have left in the bank account after our conference. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's my Venus aspect. And then we begin again. Venus is also parallel Jupiter, making her very, very passionate because both of them are in Scorpio and both of them are on the same degree of declination. It kind of supercharges them. That means this weekend is going to be very intense and passionate. Of course, Moon in Virgo can make it a little critical. So just kind of know that it's an intense, passionate, but perhaps a little critical weekend. Mars is running from 11 Libra to 14 Libra. And he is talking to Neptune, which is on the 9th, which adjusts his vision of how to move through things. And also that can be some health matters surfacing that you need to pay attention to because it's a health-based aspect. So any health issues on the 9th, to the hospital with you immediately. When we get to the Jupiter, he's at 6 and 7 Scorpio. Not doing much of anything, but if you have planets at 6 or 7, he's activating them. Saturn is at 25 Sag, and he's trining Uranus for his third and final trine. Saturn trine Uranus is that grand trine in fire in our chart, and now Saturn's going to leave Uranus and move away from him, having spent the whole year with him. So they're going to stop playing together now, because Saturn's going home. He got called home for dinner. It's got to turn into Capricorn, and Uranus has to turn next May. Uranus is going to turn into Taurus. So while they're still going to be involved in a trine, because the trine takes a while to separate by degree base, Saturn is now going on to do other things. So he's going to say to Uranus, you know, I got to go now. I got to go be serious. So that's going to happen this week. Very often that does mark some kind of change in a relationship, and that's going to happen on the weekend, on the 11th. The weekend's pretty potent. Uranus is opposite Vesta on the 7th, which makes it a great day to release things and get rid of them and say, okay, I don't want that anymore. And Pluto joins with Juno, and they've been hanging out for a while. This is this marriage aspect that's in the sky, partnership energy, marriages, wanting to partner. So if you've been mulling things and saying, gee, I'm kind of really ready to partner, I'm in the mood to kind of get it out there and partner with folks, this is the energy of this week because it is wanting to do the partnering. It's kind of wanting to secure the partnering. Now, you know, because Mercury's in Sag, there may be some changes, and that's okay. Or it may not be 100% clear how you're doing it, and that's okay too. Just kind of think about what the things are you want, or maybe that, you know, you don't want to partner with that quite so much, right? You know, you want to maybe shift that one away because it means a balsamic approach and a release. Remember, every new beginning involves an ending, right? There's an ending right before the new beginning, an ending of the old way of life, an ending of the old way of thinking, an ending of the diet because you're going back to eating regular food. You know, you're going on the diet, so it's an ending for the macaroni and cheese balls. There's always endings and beginnings, and people forget that. We tend to, I mean, I'm a big ender focuser. I focus on the endings. I got all that Scorpio stuff in my chart. But I also know there's a new beginning hiding in there somewhere. We just have to find it. Pallas Athena has a lovely aspect to the node of fate on the 9th. So again, partner energy or seeing a pattern and changing it. And also a lot of health energies on the 12th and the 13th. That's Sunday and Monday next week. So you want to be a little focused on that. Also this week in New York, we have the education conference for NCG. I will be speaking bright and early on Sunday morning, but it's a great conference. It's Source of Life. You can get information on it. SLC Center is 39th. You can get information on it by Googling NCGR New York and then looking under the events thing. It's a really good conference if you're local or within driving distance. And that's it. I wish you all a great week. And off we go. Have a nice one. Have lots of fun with all the changes ahead. And we are officially into fall. Have a great time. Bye-bye.